Good morning. Thank you, Kurt, for those wonderful hymns that you led. I want to welcome all the visitors that we have. We have a number of visitors with us, some from here in Las Vegas, some from North Carolina, some from, I think, all the way from Italy, if I remember right. And so we extend a very special welcome to you. Glad that you came to worship with us. Wanted to remind everybody that the area-wide singing is today, and it's up at the Bright Angel Church of Christ up in the northwest part of town that starts at 2 o'clock. I want to not only welcome everybody here, but those that faithfully watch us online when they can't be here, people like Barbara, Ken and Dana Walker, are watching today. Ken just had his hip surgery. He's home. He's doing well. Tracy and Marion, and also Joyce. It was mentioned in the bulletin. We need to keep Joyce in our prayers. She was recently diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, and so we'll remember her. It's nice to see Sherry with us today. You've had a bout with some sickness lately, and it's very nice to see you. Sherry watches regularly when she's not here, and we're very glad that we have that ability to do that. Keep Tanya. Many of you remember Tanya. She hasn't lived here for a few years now. She lives back in Ohio now, kind of plays part-time grandma and also takes care of her mom. So, but she, I think she was crowned Demolition Derby Queen of Ohio the other day. She was in a wreck, rolled her car three times. She came out without a scratch. Last I heard, didn't even break a fingernail. Car's a mess, but I'm sure she's probably bruised and sore from something like that. But luckily, she's okay. She sends her best, and we give our best to her. Catherine Sales, as always, gives God all glory and praises God for his grace and asks prayers for her son, Javante. His car was stolen from his home yesterday, and she requests prayers for him. Some of our visitors, Misty, Ada, and Rainey, have asked prayers for their mom, Carol McCaw. She is in a rehab center recovering from open heart surgery. And so we will keep her in prayer. And we need to keep Dick and Peggy in our prayers. Next week, Dick's going to be teaching and preaching out at Pahrump. We're thankful that he has the opportunity to do that, and he does such a good job for that congregation out there. Let's go to God in prayer right now, and then we will get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. Dear God, a number of people need your special hand for illness, for spiritual encouragement, for health, either for themselves or their family members. Dear God, we ask that you be with all of our concerns, all of our fears, all of our worries. We know that you are God of all. Dear God, we ask that you be with us as we continue our worship to you. We hope that everything that has and will be done is pleasing and glorifying to you, and that it's done in spirit and in truth. We ask that you be with your church worldwide today, that they are worshiping in spirit and in truth, and that they are spreading the gospel to those that hear. We ask that you be with Dick as he goes to Pahrump next week to do that. Dear God, again, thank you, and we pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. I'd mentioned to the men in the our little meeting before worship that I wanted to thank them. In a lot of ways, this sermon came about from thinking about not only the men, but everybody that contributes to worship services. And I don't know if sometimes you fully realize the role that you play, even if it's in attendance. But we're going to be taking the bulk of our lesson from the book of Numbers in number 16, and I've titled it, Is It a Small Thing? And this is an example of some people doing things the wrong way. It's the rebellion of Korah. And I'd like to read, it's a relatively long passage for what I normally do. It's 35 verses, but if you wanted to turn there and read in your Bible along as I'm reading, I'm reading out of the New King James Version. That's the where this is taken from, and we'll go ahead and get started. It starts off in verse 1. It says, now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. Without reading any farther, I already see where this is going. Rising up against Moses, it's already painting a bad picture. But it says these were leaders of the congregation. These were men of renown. You got to watch it. You got to check yourself, whoever you are. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're an elder. I don't care who you are. You got to check yourself once in a while. And know who you are and know your place. Verse 2, and they rose up before Moses and says, these are men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? Don't you see this happening all the time in a worldly setting? Sometimes even in a religious setting, but especially in a worldly setting, people mask what they're really saying. They're coming, oh, you guys are taking on too much. And then they get to it, the whole people are holy. Why are you exalting yourselves above the assembly? If you think back, Moses did everything he could not to be in that position. He tried to talk his way out of it with God to not be the leader. But God wanted him the leader. So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face and he spoke to Korah. It's like incoming. Moses knows this ain't going to end pretty. He hears them chirping, running their mouths, what God had set up. What's he do? Before anything, he falls on his face because he knows something's about to happen and it ain't going to be pretty. He falls on his face saying, he spoke to Korah and all his company saying, tomorrow morning, the Lord will show who is his and who is holy and will cause him to come near to him. That one whom he chooses, he will cause him he will cause to come near to him. Then Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi, is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to serve him? And that he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brethren, the sons of Levi with you. And are you seeking the priesthood also? Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you complain against him?" He's asking them a very sincere question. Is it a small thing? Are you wanting to be the priest too? Is it a small thing for people to set up the tabernacle? Is it a small thing to set up and to pack up on their movements the utensils of the holy place? Is it a small thing to hang the curtains up? You want to be priest too? You were called separate to do these special works. And you're not happy with that? You're not happy with the job you've been given? And that's what's being said. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they said, "We will not come up." And then he turns, "Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us?" Oh, they're getting bold now. Goes on to say, "Moreover, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up." They're complaining. Moses, through God, delivered them out of slavery in Egypt. They witnessed all of those miracles, the hand of God. Promised that they took them out of slavery and are going to a promised land. And they're griping, "You took us out of our situation that we were in, a condition of slavery, a condition where they're looking back with fondness of being in the condition they were in." Do we ever, now that we're Christians, long for and yearn for that old life? We should be so glad to be out of that. We should be counting our lucky stars that we're out of sin, that we're out of the world, and now a Christian. Whatever our state is, whatever situation we're in, is better than what we have left. They're longing for being back in slavery. Then Moses was very angry, and rightly so. I'm glad it was Moses instead of me. God knew what he was doing, picking Moses. He was only angry. I'd have been smoting people. Then Moses was very angry and said to the Lord, "Do not respect their offering. I have not taken one donkey from them, nor have I hurt any. Have I hurt one of them?" And Moses said to Korah, "Tomorrow you and all your company be present before the Lord, you and they, as well as Aaron. Let each take his censer and put incense in it, and each of you bring his censer before the Lord. 250 censers, both you and Aaron, each with his censer." The censers were, they put the incense in and they burnt it, and it was to be as sweet aromas to the Lord. So you and your 250 people, you each bring censers, and Aaron, you bring your censer. We're going to see how this goes. So every man took his censer, put fire in it, laid incense on it. I wonder if they ever thought back to some names, Nadab and Abihu. But that's another story. Laid incense on it and stood at the door of the tabernacle of meeting with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." Step away, Moses and Aaron, because I'm getting ready to do what I do very well. Then they fell on their faces and said, "Oh God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and you be angry with all the congregation?" One day we have to come back and visit verse 22 as a lesson. There's too much there for today. In fact, there's too much in this lesson for today. We're going to cut it in half. It's already 11:30. Sorry. I misjudged this one. We're going to finish this in Numbers. So the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the congregation, saying, get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abram." Then Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, "Depart now from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins." So they got away from around the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abram. And Dathan and Abram came out and stood at the door of their tents with their wives, their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, "By this you will know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will." It's not from Moses. It's from God. If these men die naturally, like all men, or if they're visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates a new thing, and the earth opens up its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord. Now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the men with Korah, with all their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. Not an average Tuesday. This is something that is going to be remembered. You're going to tell your children and grandchildren about this one. Then all Israel who were around them fled at their cry, for they said, lest the earth swallows us up also. And a fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense. We're going to end here today. This is a good enough lesson in and of itself. They had jobs to do for the Lord, but they weren't happy with it. And they're angry with Moses. And the crazy thing, look ahead to verse 41 in your Bibles. After this all happened, and they started murmuring against Moses. After what do these people need? And I get around to say this. I started out thanking the people that contribute to our worship assemblies. Humbly. Selflessly. Whether it's offering the prayers for the Lord's Supper, song leading, whether it's the people that before today were cleaning the building so we'd have a nice place to come and worship. The ladies that prepared the communion. Could you imagine? Chris prepares all his lesson, you know, his remarks, gets up here for the Lord's Supper. And there's no Lord's Supper in the trays. It just didn't appear. Little communion elves didn't show up at night and do it. They weren't happy with the jobs they were given. And we see what happened to them. And Moses asked them, is it a small thing what God has separated you to do? But you want to do somebody else's job. Stay around and see what happens with that one. And we just saw. We're going to end our lesson here. Don't want to rush it. There's too much. Bring your outlines back next week. If you forget them, I'll run some more. We'll do the other half next week. This has been good messages from God. Just this. We never ever like to leave an assembly or a worship without offering an invitation. An invitation to become saved. An invitation to put your Lord on in baptism if you have not done so. We see too many places in the Bible where good people, Cornelius, it says a devout man, a good man, prayed to God, offered alms to the poor, was a good man, but he wasn't saved until he was baptized. On the day of Pentecost, it said that there were in Jerusalem devout Jews that believed in God. They're there to celebrate God, but they weren't saved until Peter preached a gospel sermon to them. They received it, realized what he said, cried out, "Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved?" And Peter and the rest of them responded, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins." It's not hard to figure out. It's the same baptism that Lydia made. It's the same baptism that the Ethiopian eunuch went through. It's the same baptism that Raider just went through a couple of weeks ago, that Jeff Craig went through a few weeks ago, that Ramon went through a few months ago. It's the same baptism that you went through the day that you made that confession that Christ is the Son of God. And you put your Lord on in baptism and had your sins forgiven. If you have sin in your life, do not wait another minute to repent and to get back on track, worshiping, serving pleasingly to God. If there's prayers that you need and request in your life, whatever we can do for you. If you're looking for a church home, if you've tried some of the other churches of Christ in the valley and would like to drop anchor someplace and worship and work with a congregation, we